Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Things, finding laughter and fun wherever they go. It's with these two happy-go-lucky rogues that our story begins. For it is they who were run over by Alex Diamond, international crime fighter and playboy, fast-moving, tough-talking, and just one of the many hundreds of famous people who suffer from lumbago, the endemic disease about which no one knows more than this man. Dr. Emil Kerr, doctor, surgeon, proctologist, and selfless fighter against human suffering, whose doorbell was the one above the hero of our story tonight, Rear Admiral Humphrey de Vere. Yes, this is the story of Rear Admiral Humphrey de Vere, or rather, the story of his daughter. For it was her courage, foresight, and understanding that enabled us to probe beneath the sophisticated veneer of the Royal Arsenal Women's College backshot and learn the true history of this man. Len Hankey, chiropodist, voyeur, hen teaser. The man of whom the chairman of Fiat once said,
"C'è cosa nell'astuccicatore di porno?"
Yes, tonight we examine the career of Gino Agnelli, the man who started from nothing to build up one of the greatest firms in Europe, and whose telescope was bought from the shop part owned by a man who, at the age of 8, stole a penknife from the son of this man's brother's housekeeper's dental hygienist's uncle, the Reverend Charlie Drooper Hypersquawk Smith, the cleft-palated RAF chaplain who, single-handed, shot down over 500 German chaplains. This is the story of the men who flew with him. It really is.
Morning, squadron leader.
What ho, Squiffy.
How was it?
Top hole. Bally Jerry, Prentice Kite, right in the house your father. Hairy Blighter, Dicky Birded, feathered back on his Sammy, took a waspy, flipped over on his Betty Harpers and caught his cat in the Bertie.
Fair, didn't quite follow you, squadron leader.
It's perfectly ordinary banter, Squiffy. Bally Jerry, Prentice Kite, right in the house your father. Hairy Blighter, Dicky Birded, feathered back on his Sammy, took a waspy, flipped over on his Betty Harpers and caught his can in the Bertie.
No, I'm just not understanding banter at all well today. Give us it slower.
Banter's not the same if you say it slower, Squiffy.
Hold on, then. Wingo!
Yes, bend an ear to the squadron leader's banter for a sec, would ya?
Can do.
Dolly good. Fire away.
Bally Jerry, prang his kite, right in the house your father. Hairy Blighter, Dicky Birded, feathered back on his Sammy, took a waspy, flipped over on his Betty Harpers, and caught his can in the Bertie.
No, I don't understand that banter at all.
Something up with my banter, chaps.
Bunch of monkeys on the ceiling, sir. Grab your head and falls and let's get the bacon delivered.
Understand that?
No, I didn't get a word of it.
Sorry, old man, we don't understand your banter.
You know, bally tenpenny ones dropping in the custard. Charlie Choppers chucking a handful.
No, sorry.
Say it a bit slower, old chap.
Slower banter, sir?
Rather.
Sausage squad up the blue end.
No, still don't get it.
Cabbage crates coming over the briny?
No.
But by then, it was too late. The first cabbage crates hit London on July the 7th. That was just the beginning.
5 shillings a dozen? That's ordinary cabbages, is it? And what about the bombs? Good Lord, they are expensive.
Stop!
Yes, what is it?
You from the Western Front, sir?
Yes.
Big enemy attack at dawn, sir?
Yes.
Well... The enemy were all wearing little silver halos, sir. And they had fairy wands with big stars on the end, and...
Hey, what?
And they had spiders in matchboxes, sir.
Good God, how did our chaps react?
Well, they were jolly interested, sir. Some of them, I think it was the 4th Armoured Brigade, so they...
Yes?
Well, they went and had a look at the spiders, sir.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you, Shirley.
Sir!
Get me the Prime Minister.
Sir!
Not that quickly!
Sir!
Gentlemen, it's now quite apparent that the enemy are not only fighting this war on the cheap, but they're also not taking it seriously.
Bastards!
First they drop cabbages instead of decent bombs.
Crates were probably quite expensive, sir.
Quiet, critic! And now they're doing very silly things in one of the most vital areas of the war.
What are we going to do, Shirley?
Well, we've got to act fast before it saps morale. We're going to show these Chinese...
Germans.
These Germans. We're going to show them that no British soldier will descend to their level. Anyone found trivializing this war will face the supreme penalty that military law can provide.
All right, I think it seemed to go quite well.
Very nice.
Sepper Walters, you stand before this court accused of carrying on the war by other than warlike means, to wit, that you did on April the 16th, 1942, dressed up as a bag of dainties, flick wet towels at the enemy during the important offensive.
Well, sir...
Shut up! Colonel Fawcett for the prosecution.
Sir, we all know...
Shut up! Carry on.
Sir, we all know the facts of the case, that Sapper Walters, being in possession of expensive military equipment, to wit one Lee Enfield 303 rifle and 72 rounds of ammunition, valued at £140, 3 shillings and sixpence, chose instead to use wet towels to take an enemy command post in the area of Basingstoke.
Basingstoke? Basingstoke in Hampshire?
No, sir.
Oh, I see. Carry on.
The result of his action was that the enemy received...
Basingstoke where?
Basingstoke in Westphalia, sir.
Oh, I see. Carry on.
The result of Sapper Walter's action was that the enemy received wet patches upon their trousers and in some cases small red strawberry marks upon their thighs.
I didn't know there was a Basingstoke in Westphalia.
It's on the map, sir.
What map?
The map of Westphalia as used by the army, sir.
Well, I've certainly never heard of Basingstoke in Westphalia.
It's a municipal borough, sir, 27 miles north-northeast of Southampton.
What? Southampton in Westphalia?
Yes, sir. Bricks, clothing, and nearby the remains of Basing House burned down by Cromwell's cavalry.
Who compiled this map?
Cole Porter, sir.
Cole Porter, who wrote Kiss Me, Kate?
No, alas not, sir. This was the Cole Porter who wrote Anything Goes, sir. I can see the proof.
It's the same one. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking.
I beg your pardon.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now, heaven knows, anything goes.
No, this one's different, sir.
How does it go?
What's up?
How does your anything goes go?
Sir. Can I go home now?
Shut up! Come on!
Sir, really, I think this is...
Come on, how does your anything goes go?
Anything goes in, anything goes out. Fish, bananas, old pyjamas, mutton, beef and trout. Anything goes in...
No, that's not it. No. Carry on.
With respect, sir, I should think to prove that the man before you in the dock, being in possession of the following: one pair of army boots, value £3, 7 and 6, One pair of serge trousers, value £2, 3 and 6. One pair of gaiters, value £68.10.
£68.10 a pair of gaiters?
They were special gaiters, sir.
Special gaiters?
Yes, sir, they were made in France, sir. One beret costing 14
what
shillings...
What was special about them?
They were made of a special fabric, sir. The buckles are made of impar silver instead of brass. The total value of the uniform...
Why was the accused wearing special gaiters?
They were a presentation pair, sir, from the regiment. The total value of the uniform, therefore...
Why did they present him with a special pair of gaiters?
Sir, it seems to me totally irrelevant to the case whether the gaiters were presented to him or not, sir.
I think the court will be able to judge that for themselves. I want to know why the regiment presented the accused with a special pair of gaiters.
He used to do things for them, sir. The total value of the uniform...
What things?
He used to oblige them, sir. The total value of...
Oblige them?
Yes, sir. The total value of the uniform, as I say...
How did he oblige them?
What, sir?
How did he oblige them?
He used to make them happy in little ways, sir. The total value of the uniform cannot have been less than...
Did he touch
them at all? Sir, I submit that this is totally irrelevant.
I want to know how he made them happy.
He used to ram things up them!
Spell it out. What's the accused got to say?
What, me?
Yes, what have you got to say?
Well, what can I say, sir? I mean, how can I encapsulate in mere words my scorn for any military solution? The futility of modern warfare and the hypocrisy by which contemporary government applies one standard to violence within the community and another to violence perpetrated by one community upon another.
Sorry, but my client has become pretentious. I'm not saying anything else, though.
We haven't finished the prosecution.
Shut up! I'm in charge of this court. Stand up. Sit down. Don't move. See? Right, now, on with the pixie hats. And order in the skating vicar. And anything goes in.
Anything goes out. Fish, bananas, old pajamas, mutton, beef and trout. Anything goes in.
Tender, compassionate story of one man's love for another man in drag. Thrill to the excitement of a night emission over Germany. When the pilot, Jennifer, has to choose between his secret love for Louis, the hot-bloodedly bisexual navigator, and Andy, the rear gunner, who, though quite assertive with girls, tends to take the submissive role in his relationships with men. And sensational Mexican starlet, Rosetta Nixon, plays the head of Bomber Command, whose passion for seabirds ends in tragedy. With Ginger as the half-man, half-woman parrot, whose unnatural instincts brought forbidden love to the aviary. And Roger as Pip, the half-parrot, half-man, half-woman, three-quarter badger, ex-bigamist negro creature, for whom banjo playing was very difficult. And he never mastered it, although he took several courses and went to banjo college, and everything. Don't miss it! Coming to your cinema soon. Only 5 minutes from this restaurant.
repeats. Yes. Repeats on YouTube. Really makes you want to admit to it. People on television treat the general public like idiots.
Well, we are idiots.
No, no, we are not.
You am.
How do you know you're an idiot?
Oh, I can show you.
How?
Look.
Public are idiots. You might as well just show them the last 5 miles of the M2. They'd watch it, eh?
At last, they've done been put on something interesting.
Oh, most interesting.
Our figures show conclusively that these motorways are extremely popular. I mean, last time we showed a repeat of the Leicester bypass, our ratings gave us 97,300,912. And ITV naught. So I do feel that we ought to give B Roads their own series.
I'm sorry, we just can't give you a bigger budget.
Budget?
No, he's left, I think.
Oh, all right.
Why not?
Well, we're only one slice of cake, you know. Wouldn't mind a slice of cake. Nice chocolate cake, delicious.
I had a budgie once, you know. Lovely little budgie, amusing little chap. Used to stick his head in a bell. What was his name now? Joey? Xerxes?
We could repeat them.
Reheat them?
Now repeat them.
You don't reheat cakes, not chocolate cakes.
Not repeat the cakes. Mr. Heath.
What?
That was the name of the budgie.
Hello, the bar's open.
Oh, play off.
Oh, no, no, listen, I was going to get the little hand that goes around awfully fast.
Blast.
I've got it. We can retitle the repeats.
What? Give them different names?
Wouldn't that mean retitling them?
Oh.
Right, all we need is new titles, and they must be damn new.
Our belts, Dad's Navy.
Mm, good, good, good.
Up your mother next door.
Oh. Even better. Doctorate B.
What? Someone's knocking at the door.
Mm, quite like it. Bit long, though, I think.
Far too long. I married Lucy.
Hasn't that been done?
Oh, yes, a long time ago, though. They'd never remember it.
Doctorate 3.
What? I think someone's knocking at the door.
Oh, that's even longer.
I married a tree.
A mother makes tree. Oh. Doctorate cake!
Look, I'm not absolutely certain, but, well, I do rather get the impression that there is someone actually knocking on the door at this very moment.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Half a program gone. Stop ending. I married a cake!
I married 3 rabbit jelly molds.
Prefer cake, especially jockey cake.
Open the sodding door!
No, no, you can't say sodding on television. No.
You're supposed to knock!
Sorry, sir, but there's trouble in Studio 5.
You're in security, aren't you?
Yes, sir!
Well, you're not allowed to suggest programme titles.
It's a World War series in Studio 5. They're not taking it seriously anymore.
You're not allowed to suggest programme titles.
Look! Where? Oh! Mind me, War Wound!
That's it. That's the one.
Very good title.
Very good.
Great. Mind me, War Wound.
World War II series. I hate them. Oh, always the same as a dust. Just like another bloody Withers. Just miserable. Day after day after day after day. Oh, Evening Star. If only we could have a decent day tomorrow. Oh, this weather's so wretched and awful and filthy and... What's going on? What the hell is going on?
I can't even sleep. What are they doing? What was going on? Oh, I can't stand it. Oh. Oh! Oh! That does it! That does it! I'm going to get on! What a lovely day. Oh, I think I'm going to die.
I say.
Yes, Daddy?
Croquet hoops look damn pretty this afternoon.
Frightfully damn pretty.
They're coming along awfully well this year.
Yes, better than your Aunt Lavinia's croquet hoops.
Oh, dreadful tin things.
I did tell her to stick to wood.
Yes, you can't beat wood. Gorn.
What's gorn, dear?
Nothing. No, just like the word, it gives me confidence. Gorn. It's got a sort of woody quality about it. Gorn. Much better than newspaper or litter bin.
Oh, frightful words.
Perfectly dreadful.
Newspaper, litter bin, dreadful, tinny sort of word. Tin.
Oh, dear, don't say tin to Rebecca. You know how it upsets her.
Sorry, old horse.
Sausage.
There's a good woody sort of word, sausage. Gorn.
Antelope!
Where? On the lawn?
No, Daddy. Just the word.
No, an antelope nibbling the hoops?
No. Antelope. Sort of nice and woody type of thing.
Don't think so, Becky, old chap.
No. Antelope. Tinny sort of word. Oh, sorry, old man.
Really, Mansfield?
Well, she's got to come to terms with these things. Seemly. Prodding. Vacuum. Leap.
Oh, hate leap.
Perfectly dreadful.
Sort of PVC sort of word, don't you know?
Lower middle.
Bound.
Now you're talking.
Bound. Vole. Recidivist.
Bit tinny. Sorry, Becky, old beast.
Oh, dear, I suppose she'll be gone for a few days now.
Caribou.
Blended word.
No, dear, nibbling the hoops.
Caribou gorn. Intercourse.
Later, dear.
No, the word intercourse. Good and woody. Intercourse. Pert thighs, botty. Erogenous zone. Oh, concubine, erogenous zone. Loose woman, erogenous zone. Oh, thank you, dear. There's a funny thing, dear. All the naughty words sound woody.
Really, dear? How about tit?
Oh, dear. I hadn't thought about that. Tit. Oh, that's very tinny, isn't it? Tit. Oh, tinny. Oh, dear. Ocelot. Wasp. Yowling. Oh, dear, I'm bored. I'd better go and have a bath, I suppose.
Oh, really, must you, dear? You've had 9 today.
All right. Well, I'll sack one of the servants. Simpkins! Nasty, tinny sort of name. Simpkins!
I say, mater. Cabbage crate's coming over the briny.
Sorry, dear, I don't understand.
Cowcatchers creeping up on the conning towers.
No, sorry, old sport.
Yeah, Caribou Nimlet of the croquet hoops.
Yes, Mansfield shot one in the antlers.
No, jolly good show. Is Becker about?
No, she's gone off.
Oh, what a super woody sort of phrase. Gone off.
Yeah, she's gone off because Mansfield said tin to her.
Oh, what rotten luck. Yeah, well, whole afternoon to kill. Better have a bath, I suppose.
Gervaise, do sing me a song.
Oh, okay.
Something woody.
She's going to marry him! Oh, crikey. Old Sean's finished her off.
What?
Oh, I'm afraid your Mrs. Vermin Jones appears to have passed on.
Dead, is she?
Afraid so.
What a blow for her.
What I want to know, Mrs. Elizabeth III, is why they show us crap like this when there's bits of the Leicester bypass would have never been shown. Biscuit!
Oh, thank you.
M2 were 4,281 Vauxhall Vivas, 2,117 Vauxhall Vivas Deluxe.
Bloody repeats! Bloody repeats!
Hello and welcome to
Shirley
Opera, the
Wild
Show from the Wild.
Oh, motocross!
Just about to go into a jump off against the clock. The slight pause is for the stewards who are repairing the sound music. Captain Phillips on Struth just caught one of the nuns at the very start of what would have been a fine clear round. It's a formidable obstacle, this sound of music. Eight nuns are ready now and singing. And there's the bell. She's got 1:07 seconds to beat, but she needs a clear round to win as she comes towards the sound of music.
Susan!
Beautifully taken, and now she needs to pick up speed for Oklahoma, but not too much. This is where Alan Jones knocked down four.
You notice how you never actually see the horses jump?
Superb show jumping. She's coming up to the black and white minstrel show.
What's this?
She's taken it, she's over the minstrel, she just flicked Leslie Crowther with a tail. And now she turns before coming into the final jump. This is a tough one, it's Ben-Hur, 46 chariots, 6,000 spectators, 400 slaves lining up.
I bet we don't see this one.
We interrupt show jumping to bring you a newsflash. The Second World War has now entered a sentimental stage. This morning on the Ardennes front, the Germans started spooning at dawn. The British Fifth Army responded by gazing deep into their eyes, and the Germans are now reported to have gone all coy.
When does a dream begin? Does it start with a good night kiss? Is it conceived or simply achieved? When does a dream begin? When does a dream begin? Is it born in a moment of bliss? Or is it begun when two hearts are one? When does a dream exist? The vision of you appears somehow impossible to resist. But I'm not imagining scenes, for who would have dreamed of this? When does a dream begin? When reality is dismissed? Or does it commence when we lose all pretense?